In Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 44, it says, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because of the gifts of the Holy Spirit were poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speak in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. It's so good to see everybody this evening. It's a little different being back. I'm excited we're back because it is extremely different to not have everybody here. I know we were meeting online, and I know that's, you know, the best we could do for what we were given. But it's such a good feeling to have everybody back, and I'm really excited about that. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the importance of baptism. And we're going to kind of get into kind of how I came about this topic, where it kind of came from. But I'll tell you a quick story. October 2nd, 2011 is my baptism story. I woke up. It was a normal Sunday. Buford, where I attended growing up, they were trying out, I don't really like the word, but they were trying out a new youth minister. His name was Brandon Edwards. A handful of people might know him here, but he ended up being my youth minister. He's a great guy, but his lesson that day was on standing up for your faith. It was on making sure that you always were ready to stand up for your own faith. And he ended the lesson with, if you were to go on trial for your faith, would you be found guilty? And I don't know what it was about that lesson. I don't know if it was just him telling the story or if it was just that situation. But leaving that class, I knew I wanted to be baptized that day. Now, as a responsible person, which I'm not, I would have told my parents, told some people, like, hey, by the way, at the end of service, I want to be baptized. I didn't tell anybody. I left it kind of up in the air. I didn't mention it to anybody. The invitation song came on. I looked at one of my buddies named James and said, hey, I'm going to go up there. I'm going to get baptized. He looked at me and goes, all right, go on. So I walked up there, and what I did not know was my mom had gotten sick right before services, so my dad took her home. The guy that I wanted to baptize me, his wife had also gotten sick, so he was not there either at the time. So instead of singing like the one or two baptism songs, they sang like four or five, waiting until my dad and one of the elders named Stan, they could get back so I could be baptized. So it was very not thought out. As far as on my part of telling people, make sure everybody was going to be there. But that is my baptism story. Everybody's baptism story is a little bit different. I've seen a lot of the kids here get baptized. Whether it's behind me, we've had a handful get baptized at Maywood Christian Camp. We've had a handful get baptized at Exposure. We've had a handful get baptized at many different places. We all have a baptism story. On every single Monday night for the past 3 weeks, we've been doing a study on evangelism and kind of how we would go about reaching others, how we would go about bringing others closer to God. And one of the main topics that always comes up is baptism. When you're talking to people outside the church, that's always a main thing that we hit on. That's always a main thing that we focus on is baptism. People get baptized or they believe that they're saved for all these many different reasons. And we often don't focus on what's the importance of baptism. We often grow up, we know, hey, we need to be baptized. If you look at the word baptism or baptizo in the Greek, it means fully submerged. We know we need to be fully submerged. We know that we need to be dunked into the water. But what else is important about it? So tonight we're going to be looking at a lot of different verses. That's me warning you. We are looking at a lot of different verses about the importance of baptism and what it means to us today as Christians. Baptism is included in God's divine revelation. Divine revelation or God's plan. Baptism is included in God's plan. First, turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 13. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves or free. All were made to drink of one spirit. We are all baptized into God's body. We're all baptized into the same body. It doesn't matter the religion, or it doesn't matter about the race. It doesn't matter about the person, or whether you're rich or poor. Everybody is baptized into that one body. We all fit into that one body. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 says, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added to them that day about 3,000 souls." 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 says, "Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the remission of Christ Jesus." Baptism is included in God's divine revelation. Baptism is included in God's plan. It is God's plan for us to be baptized. Next point, baptism is part of the Great Commission. One of my favorite passages, Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Starting in verse 16, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always till the end of the age.'" We're not going to read Mark 16, 15 and 16 quite yet. That's here in a couple, or the next slide. But we see here the Great Commission. Jesus has given us one last instruction: to go out into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptism is part of the Great Commission. Baptism is one of the instructions that Jesus has left us. Next part. Baptism is the only way to be in a relationship with God. As I mentioned earlier, many religions believe different things. They believe that different baptisms, and they believe in different baptisms. They believe that baptism is a different thing. Some people believe you only have to accept Jesus into your heart. Some people believe that you don't really have to be fully submerged. But we see here there's some different sayings when it comes to that. But the Bible shows us the truth. The Bible shows us how we need to be baptized. Mark 16, verse 16. Mark 16, 16. "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Baptism is the only way to be in a relationship with God. We must be baptized. Baptism was preached on the day the church was established. Baptism was preached on the day the church was established. Not only was it necessary, it was also essential. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. "And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Baptism was preached on the day the church was established. It was preached saying that we needed to be baptized in order to be saved. Baptism is found in every conversion account recorded in the book of Acts. You will not find someone being saved in the book of Acts without baptism. Baptism is the common ground when you see people being saved. We're going to look at all three of these verses because all three have different points to them. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. "But when they believed Philip as preached the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." We go on to verse 38, following that. "And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." We see here two different parts of where people heard the word of God. They believed in the word of God, and they were baptized. We even see that the eunuch, if you were to read on in that story or read before, where he stopped the chariot, he wanted to be baptized right then, right there. So he made the chariot stop so he could be baptized. And the last part for this point is verse 16. Chapter 16, looking at verse 33. as the Philippian jailer when he was converted. We all know the story. We all know that, he kind of panicked in the time that he was there, and he didn't really know what to do. And we'll start in verse 31. And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all to who were in his house. And he had taken them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. You have to believe, and then you become baptized. We have the saying here, believe, repent, confess, be baptized in the water. You see that they learned about the gospel, they learned about the Bible, and then they were baptized. Baptism is the only way to put on Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Acts 19:5 says, "On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Baptism is the only way to put on Christ. We can do all these great things. We can believe all the things that we want to. We can do all these mighty works in His name. But without baptism, it's not complete. Without baptism, your walk with God is not complete. Baptism is the only way to be buried and resurrected. Baptism is the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Christian. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 says, "Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power and the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead." Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ, Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that we, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." We bury our old selves. We bury the way that we used to be. We're forgiven of our sins and we're raised a brand new Christian to walk in God's light, to be a light for God. And we have all these great things, and we've mentioned a handful of them. And yes, we did flip through a lot of verses, and yes, we did talk a lot about baptism. And yes, baptism is the only way, and we're looking at all these things. You must hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Last Monday night, I believe, we talked about that cherry-picking Christianity. And what we mean by that is the Christians that open up their Bible, and they kind of pick and choose what they like and what they don't like. They like this part of the Bible. Hey, you know what? I can follow this, but they might not like something else. They say, "No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to follow God in that way." And baptism is one of those things that we see often that might be cherry picked over. You know, hey, I believe in God. I'll confess that He is Lord, and we'll do all these things. But I don't really want to be baptized. I don't really want to get wet today. It's not worth it. I don't. My hair is looking good, and I don't want to ruin that. It's a cherry-picking Christianity. And that's not what we're about. That's not what the Bible is about. The Bible tells us exactly what we have to do in order to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And that's the points that we're trying to make today. But I want you to walk away with one thing to remember. And it's the only thing that I want you to remember from as far as being baptized. And that's, don't forget the "and." Don't forget the "and." There's a lot to the Bible. There's a lot to being baptized. But there's two verses that poke out. And they've always stuck out to me. And they're two of the best. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. We'll turn there real quick. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. just to catch everybody up, this is the start of the church in Acts chapter 2. And we're seeing here Peter talking. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. What it did not say was just repent and you're good. What it didn't say was, hey, just be baptized and you're good. Repent and be baptized. You have to do both of them. Mark chapter 16, verse 16, another passage that we read earlier, coming off of the Great Commission. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. Don't forget the and when it comes to baptism. Don't forget the and when you're looking at your faith. You have to be baptized. You have to repent and be baptized. You have to believe and be baptized. We can't miss that step. We can't overlook that step. We cannot cherry pick that step. That's part of the plan of salvation. But also, it's the last part that we forget about. It's living the faithful life. We often get baptized and we say, hey, you know, we just got baptized. What's next? What do we need to do next? Oh, I got baptized. I can just go back to how I was living my life. I'm good. But that's not how it works. That last point, stay faithful. When you're baptized, you have to stay faithful past just that baptism. You live a Christian life after that. You represent God every step of the way after you're baptized. As we already read earlier, Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures till the end will be saved. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Revelation 2, verse 10, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. But be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. And then Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized in the water. It's not over. Once that hits, you have to live that faithful life. You have to run the race of endurance. You have to glorify God every step of the way. Oftentimes, we forget the importance of baptism. We've been taught it our entire lives. We've been told, hey, you need to be baptized. You need, especially at camps and in times that you're talking to other people about God, we always focus on that baptism. But why is it so important? It's important because God commanded us to be baptized. It's important because we need to know the Bible. We need to understand what the Bible has to say. And from that, we should know that we need to be baptized into Jesus Christ. And then it continues after that. We live that faithful life. So tonight, you're in two different boats. One boat, you're not saved. You haven't been baptized. It might not have been that important to you at the time. You might not have thought about it a whole lot. But you're in that boat of not being baptized. And tonight, we have the perfect opportunity for you. Tonight, you have an opportunity to be saved. You have an opportunity to be one in God's kingdom. You have the opportunity. And two, you might be in the boat of you're already saved. What's next? From there, you're either doing the best that you can or you might be struggling. And if you're struggling, the church is here to pray for you. If you're struggling with your Christianity and you've been baptized and you just feel like you've just been kind of walking through the motions of Christianity, the church is here for you. We're here to pray for you. We're here to be for you. We're here in any way that you need. And if you have any needs, please come forward as we stand and sing.